I know it's late. I'm not going to keep you long, though. I know you're ready to go eat lunch, right? God help you. I think everybody took their mother out to eat lunch yesterday evening. We went out to celebrate Wesley's graduation and my oldest son Will's birthday, which was Thursday. And I tried to call ahead and make reservations. And no, we don't take reservations, but if you do, we won't be busy at the time. We're going to come at 5 o'clock. Just come on in, and we don't start getting busy to 5:30. Well, I got there at 5 o'clock, and there was an hour and a half wait already at the place we were going to go. So we finally found a place. We're down at Avalon, which is not my favorite place to, you know. Those are for the people that have fled New York that still want to live in New York, I think. Places like Avalon and Halcyon. But if you God bless you if you like that. But anyway, we found a place to eat and had a good time, but it was crowded. So, amen. So I'm going to get the word to you, and then we'll let you out so you can go do all that if you want to do that. If you want to subject yourself to that, then that's up to you. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for every person here, Lord, certainly every mother, but also every person here. Lord, I believe you've got a word for all of us today to speak to us, and we trust the Holy Spirit for that. I trust Him to give me the words to say, and I trust the Holy Spirit to give all of us ears to hear what you're saying, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn me up just a notch there, Mike, if you would. Proverbs 31. You knew I was going there, didn't you? Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of his life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. Verse 21, now, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Okay, stop it. I can't take any more of that. I can just hear you women saying that right now, right? Like, how many of you ladies, as we read through this passage, you get this queasy feeling in the pit of your stomach, and you're thinking, oh no, you're going to bring up Miss Perfect again. Please. The bar is set so high by this Proverbs 31 woman that I don't blame you, ladies, that it would cause you to feel inferior, feel inadequate, feel like you could never measure up to this standard. But I don't think that's what God intended by having this written in His Word. I'll tell you this, so I'm sure glad there's no corresponding passage for the men in the Bible. Whew. Except, the Bible does say, husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church. That's a pretty high standard. And that God does choose to identify Himself as our Father. And that puts a little bit of pressure on us guys as well. But what I'm here to do today for all of us, and especially for you moms, I want to encourage you. Amen. Praise God. This woman here in Proverbs 31, she's set the bar high. I agree. But I think the way we should look at this and the way we should understand it is not that one woman does all these things, but that this woman is the embodiment of all the amazing things that women do. Amen. There's not one woman she's in real estate. She's a farmer. She sews. She does all. There's not one woman that can do all of that. But he's just talking about, okay, this is the amazing thing. These are the amazing things that women can do. And you know, the Bible and the Judeo-Christian moral ethic elevates the status of women. You know, it's completely insane to me that these young American college student girls are out there protesting in support of the Palestinians and Hamas, where in those countries, women are considered slaves. They're considered less than second-class citizens. How could an intelligent person say, we want that, we need more of that? This is well, I'll tell you what it is. It's demonic deception. It's a demon spirit that is blinding their minds. In every culture that Christianity and the Bible has been embraced, the status and the value of women has been elevated. That's just an absolute fact. Amen. And that's what this passage is doing. This is saying, look, this is all the amazing things that women do. Praise God. Stay with me here. We're going to go back to Proverbs 31, verse 28. I promise you, it's not going to beat you over the head, ladies. Verse 28. Let's get down to verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So who is this woman? Who is she receiving praise from here in verse 28? Her children and her husband. All right. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So this is not about popularity and you know, our culture today and the media and social media and all of that. You know, there's such pressure on women to try to look a certain way and be a certain way and present yourself a certain way. No wonder. No wonder. It's hard. It's tough with all that. So that's why it's best that's why the Bible says don't be conformed to the world. Amen. Don't be conformed to the world. Amen. And so are we. And so are we comparing with one another? Are we comparing one mother to another here when it says many daughters have done well, but you excel them all? You're the mother of the year. You're the best mother. Well, I'm a better mother than you are, you know. Is that what we're talking about? No. Here's the way to look at this. Many daughters have done well, or we can say it this way. Many women have done well with all these things that are mentioned here in Proverbs 31, with your career and with all these things, with service to the Lord, with different things that you can do in the workforce. All that is wonderful and good, and go for that. God wants you to achieve that and do those things, career, service to the Lord. But here's what I believe he's saying. But you, mother, excel them all. In other words, this is not comparing mother to mother. It's saying that of all the noble and of all the good and the wonderful things that women have done and can do and will do, that when a woman steps into the role of a mother, then she excels them all. That's the greatest calling. That's the greatest thing that she can do. Amen. Is to step into that role as a mother. Cheryl Lacey Donovan, who is the author of The Ministry of Motherhood, she said this: mother is a verb. You thought it was a noun, didn't you? It's a verb. Because it's something that you do, not just who you are. Have you found that out? My friend Mark Mobley, who's preached here for us, you know, he says every deliverance story in the Bible starts with a mother. Think about that. You think about Moses, what does the story start with? Moses' mother. The birth of Jesus, where does it start with? The angel Gabriel comes to Mary, right? But what I want to talk to you about today and encourage you with is this. This is, I believe, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's a statement that I wrote down as I was studying. The Word of God gives us wisdom, but the gospel gives us hope. Now again, say, well, wait a minute, I thought the gospel was the Word of God. Well, it is. All the Word of God is not the gospel, but the gospel is the Word of God. Does that make sense? I mean, there's parts of the Word of God that's not the specific, the gospel. Christ died for us, rose from the dead, shed his blood for our sins. That's our redemption story. That's our hope. The gospel is our hope. The gospel says everything that I've done to mess things up and break things in my life, the gospel fixes it. The gospel makes it all better. The gospel redeems it all. Hallelujah. Amen. The Word of God gives us wisdom because it gives us principles on how to live our life. And we need that. We need both. Amen. We need to follow the principles of the Word, but we need to remember the hope of the gospel when we fall short. There's forgiveness. There's mercy. There's restoration. Hallelujah. The gospel is, I was a sinner. I failed. I came up short. But Jesus came to fix all that was broken in my life. That's the gospel. Amen. I'll give you a scripture that explains this. 1 John 2 and verse 1 says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God, the principles of God that John is saying, I'm writing these to you, and if you'll follow them, you won't sin. If you follow them, you'll live in victory. But then he adds this, yet, he says, and if anyone does sin. I'm writing this to you so you don't sin. I'm giving you the principles. I'm giving you the Word for you to follow so that you can live in victory. But if anybody does sin, it's not over. Oh, man, I messed up. I didn't keep that scripture. I didn't do that just right. There's no hope for me. No, if any man sins, we've got an advocate. We have an advocate. That's the gospel. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So that means I've always got hope, even when I've missed it, even when I've come short. This gives me hope always. Praise God. So again, I'm saying that with the thought in mind. I'm thinking about you as mothers. You know, I know you all have done a wonderful job, but you probably all have battled thoughts and regrets and like, oh, I wish I'd have done this differently. I should have done that better. I didn't do that quite right. Well, God doesn't want you to be tormented with those thoughts. God doesn't want you to be troubled with that. Amen? So what does he want you to do? What does God want you to do? I've got four things here this morning. Number one, God wants you, mothers, and all of us, we can all get something out of this. God wants you to cast your cares on him. God wants you, especially today, mothers, hear this. God wants you to cast your cares on him. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How much of your care do you cast on him? All of it. All of it. Probably the greatest temptation to worry that we have as mothers and fathers is to worry about our children, isn't it?
That's right. Amen.
Isn't that right? I mean, if you're a parent, then the number one source of the temptation for you to worry is about your kids.
That's right.
Right? Okay. So here's what happens. The devil perverts our genuine care for our children and our genuine deep desire to see their lives blessed. You have that deep desire in you, a mother and a father does, to see their children blessed, to see their children, see the well-being of their children. Yeah. The devil perverts that into getting us into worrying about them. Yes, but refuse to worry.
Yes,
give it up.
Amen.
Give up worry. Jesus told us not to, so if he told us not to, then that means he gives us the power not to worry. Amen. Well, he told us what to do. Instead of worrying, cast that care on him. In Philippians, he says, instead of worrying, pray. Amen. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Praise God. Amen. And when you do that, he said, the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. Amen? So give up worry. God wants you to cast your cares on him. Amen. Praise God. Second thing, God wants you to trust him for the well-being of your children. God wants you to trust him for the well-being of your children. Amen. He doesn't want you to worry. He wants you to trust Him.
Right.
He wants you to trust Him. God says, you can trust me. You can trust me with the well-being of your... Yeah. Yes, we have our role to play. Yes, we have our job to do as parents, as mothers, as fathers. We have scriptures that instruct us, God's wisdom that instructs us on training our children, on doing our best, on being there and doing our part as a parent. But beyond that, God says, I want you to trust me for the well-being of your children. Look at this. Is a great promise right here. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace, the shalom, which means well-being, wholeness, soundness. Amen. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the well-being of your children. What a great promise. God wants you, mothers, He wants you to believe that. He wants you to trust Him. You can't fix everything for your kids. Amen. God wants you to trust Him for the well-being of your children. Now, that's a great verse to pray over your kids. There's nothing more powerful than praying the Word of God. Amen. Pray that verse. Go to take it to God and say, Father, I thank you. Your promise. You said, Lord, you said all my children would be taught by you. So, Lord, thank you that you teach my kids. Thank you that you speak to them. Thank you that you draw them to yourself and you speak to them. And great should be the peace and well-being of my children. Praise God. Here's another great promise. Isaiah 49, 25. But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty should be taken away, and the prey of the terrible be delivered. If your children have been bound with any addiction or anything like that, then God gives us a promise here that the captives will be brought out of their captivity. Hallelujah. Those that have been taken prey, they'll be delivered. For I will contend. Look at what God says. I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. Hallelujah. Stand on that. Believe that. Trust God. Trust God to do that for your kids. Amen? And then along with that, plead the blood of Jesus over your children. Let's go back to Proverbs 31 woman for a moment. In verse 21, it says, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Well, that's a picture, that's a type of the blood of Jesus. Rahab put that scarlet cord in the window of her house and was protected. That was a symbol, a type of the blood. The children of Israel killed the Passover lamb just some time before that and put the blood of the lamb over their doorpost, right? And they were protected. They applied the blood. Well, we've got the blood of Jesus that's been shed for us. So take that blood, mother, take that blood and plead the blood of Jesus over your children. Just do it just like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over my children. And I thank you they're divinely protected. And I thank you that the blood cleanses them from all sin. And the blood keeps them cleansed. And the blood, like I talked about in communion last Sunday, the blood sanctifies them and sets them apart to your purpose. That my children will fulfill their divine purpose. Plead the blood over them. Hallelujah. Yep, pray these scriptures. But beyond that, let them comfort your heart today. Let them comfort you today. It's not up to you to bring the Word of God to pass. It's not up to us to perform God's Word. The Bible says in Jeremiah that He watches over it. Amen. To perform it. It's our job to believe it. It's our job to pray it. But it's His job to do it. Trust Him to do His job for your children. Amen. God wants you to trust Him. Amen. And then number three, God wants you to be there for your children now. At whatever age they are. Amen. How many of you, men and women, that your mother has passed away, and you would think, boy, I wish she was still here, or I miss her. You're right. And there's not a one that wouldn't say that, right? Well, your role as a mother doesn't end when they move out and get married or whatever they go on. They need you to be there for them. Amen. And here's the thing: if we look back at our mistakes and our failures, and we're continually looking back with regret, we can't be present to be the blessing to our children that they need us to be right now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So don't let the devil condemn you. There's grace and there's restoration.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. If you need to, if necessary, if the situation warrants it, it's not wrong to. It will take some humility on your part. If you've messed up, go to your children and say, I was just thinking back. Because look, don't we grow? Don't we see things better as we get down the road a little bit and look back and say, wow, I see now I could have done that differently. Well, and don't live in regret, but if the situation warrants it, and I don't know that every situation would, but if it warrants it, go to your kids and say, hey, you know what? I just was thinking about the way I handled that situation back there. I should have done that differently. I want to ask you to forgive me. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Amen? And in fact, there's a lot of good that can come from it. But be there for your children now and be present. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And then finally, and Clint, you come on back up if you will. God wants you to forgive yourself and let Him love you. God wants you to forgive yourself. Again, this is for all of us today, but I'm talking to mothers today. God wants you to forgive yourself and let Him love you. Amen? 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us.
Yes, amen.
And that's true and that's accurate, but I want to show it to you in the NIV. The NIV and many other translations leave out Him. Now it's right. We love God back because He first loved us.
Yes, amen.
And we should. We love. The reason I love God is because He loves me. And Jesus talked about that. He talked about the woman. He came in to eat with one of the Pharisees, and this woman came in and she began to she knelt at His feet and she began to weep and she washed His feet with her tears and she took her hair and dried His feet with her hair. And the Pharisee there thought within himself, said, if this man was a prophet, he would know that this woman is a sinner. And Jesus perceived that thought. And then He said to the man, or made the statement, He said, he who's been forgiven much loves much.
Amen.
He said, I came in here and you thought you were righteous and good. And so you didn't offer to wash my feet. You didn't do anything for me. But this woman came in and she washed my feet and she dried them with her hair. Because her sins were many and she had been forgiven. In other words, she had experienced the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. She knew that God had forgiven her much. And she was loved by God and therefore she loved back much. Praise God. So yes, we love Him because He first loved us. But let's get the verse back up there again in the NIV. But the word Him is not in the NIV or many other translations. And so let's read it this way. We love because He first loved us.
Yes, amen.
In other words, our capacity and our ability to love others, including our children, is dependent on receiving God's love for us. We can't really love others the way God wants us to until we first let Him love us. Amen. So let God love you. Let God love you. If you want to love your family and your children well, let God love you. Let God love you. Believe the love that He has for you. Again, that one of my things that I say over myself, I have a Savior who loves me. Praise God. Won't you just close your eyes and just say that? Just say that to yourself. I have a Savior who loves me. Amen. That's true. You do. You have a Savior who loves you. Praise God. I was thinking about my grandkids, and this was true with my kids, I'm sure, but you're so busy raising them that you don't take. That's why grandkids are so good. It's because all the things that you got busy and missed with your kids, you get to do with your grandkids. And I go over to see my oldest son and his wife. A lot of you know them, Will and Aaron. They have three. They have Elliot, who just turned six, and then they've got the twins, Judah and Noel, who are two. And I go over every Thursday afternoon to see them and help take care of them. And when I first come in to see them, the first thing, I don't want to find out what they've done or their achievements or anything. I just want to say, come here. Come here. Come here. Let me give you a hug. Let me kiss you. Look here. I told Elliot Thursday when I was out here, I said, look at me. Look in my eyes. I said, I love you. That's what God wants to do with us. Let God love you. The first thing when we come into His presence, He's not looking for, okay, how well have you obeyed me? How well have you done everything this week? He says, come here, come here, come here.
Amen.
Let me love you. Let God love you. Let God love you. Forgive yourself and let God love you. Amen. That's the heart of our Heavenly Father. Praise God. Now, that's the end of that message. I've got another one I want to preach to you now. That's a very short one, though. The reason I say that is because it doesn't really fit with what I just said, but it was on my heart, and I believe it fits today. I believe somebody needs to hear it. It doesn't fit as far as hermeneutics. That's supposedly the art or whatever of preparing a sermon. That it may not be hermeneutically correct, but it's going to touch your heart today. That's what. This is a statement I want to make to you, and I believe some of you need to hear it today. God will calm the storm in your life and in your family.
Amen.
God will calm the storm. In fact, Tanya, it's for you. I've had this since last week. I want to pray for you if you'd come up here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let me just pray for you here. You just receive. You don't try to give out right now. You just receive. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for your peace. I thank you, Lord, that this storm, whatever it is that the enemy is trying to bring against her to trouble her, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that she is free today. I thank you for the joy. That's it. That's the joy of the Holy Spirit. Just yield to that. Yeah. Soto Korea Shikaye. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that's lifted off of her right now. I thank you, Lord, that torment, that trouble, that dread is lifted off of her right now. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you for your joy filling your heart. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, you know what it is. It's not necessary that we know, but you know and she knows. And we thank you that the enemy is put to flight now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. She'll be troubled no more. The Lord says, give that to me. Don't let that trouble you another day, daughter. I see. I know how the enemy has tried to torment you with that. Let it go. That's the enemy's voice and he's a liar. Walk in the truth. Walk in my love for you, says the Lord. Walk in my goodness for you, says the Lord. I said to you that my goodness and mercy would follow you. So don't be looking over your shoulder for something bad. Know that goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. In Jesus' name, receive that now. Receive that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if that witness is with your heart, then take it and receive it.
Yes, Jesus.
You are blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Is that witness with you? Praise God. Well, God's for you. God's with you. God, there's your answer. Receive it. Walk in it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I'm still preaching, Paul. Praise God. Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 26. This is for everybody. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. He's talking about people that are out on a ship in the midst of a storm. All right. So if you feel like you're going through a storm right now, they mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. It's like, you know, get on that wave and that wave lifts the ship up and then they go crashing down to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. And He brings them out of their distresses. Verse 29, He calms the storm. So receive that today for the storm to be calmed in your life and in your family and in your situation. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Praise God. God can do that. Then they're glad because they're quiet. Don't you know if you were out on a ship and you're in the midst of this storm and it's lifting the boat up and then crashing it down, up and down, and you think you're going to die, and then all of a sudden you're in calm seas. Then they're glad because they're quiet. And then it says in rest of verse 30, so He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. This is what God does in His goodness. He quiets the storm in our lives. And then it says He guides them to their desired haven. The definition, and that's what God will do. He wants to calm the storm in your family and in your life. And He wants to guide you and your family to your desired haven. And a haven means a place of rest, safety, and security. So, Father, I just declare that right now. If you need that, then just raise your hands and receive this right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand on Your Word today. We stand on this Word, Father, inspired by Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that You calm the storm. In the name of Jesus, that You calm the storm in our lives, that You calm the storm in our family. Lord, we know that the Lord Jesus rebuked the wind and the wave, and there was a calm. So in Jesus' name, we command this storm to stop. In Jesus' name, we command you, devil, to stop in your maneuvers. Lord, we thank You for peace, for calming that storm. And we thank You, Father, for guiding us to our desired haven. Father, thank You for guiding every person that this applies to that's going through a storm. Thank You that You guide them to their desired haven, that You guide them to a place of rest, a place of safety, and a place of security. In the name of Jesus, we release that and we declare that right now in Jesus' name. We thank You for it, Father. We thank You for it. Praise God.